This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, we welcome iconic shoemaker and royal couturer, Dato' Lure Liu, to share the ideas and motivations behind his designs and ventures.
I remember when I launched Lure in 1997, and that was the year Lady Diana passed. So it's always in my mind that I want to have some tribute to her.
After that, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, gives us a tip or two on rocking tropical prints and the urban jungle.
I mean, they're easy to match with your usual work pieces and similar shades. Or, you know, you can even go for those in a sophisticated monotone palette of black and white. Save the bold prints for the weekend. I mean, you don't have to be on holiday to look like you're on one.
But first up is our style makers for this week, Dato' Lure Liu. With his brand, Lure Bespoke started in 1997, and with more than 30 years' experience in the shoe fashion industry, Dato' Lure Liu's journey from his humble beginnings working with his family at a rubber plantation to becoming the leading icon in Malaysian shoemaking is nothing short of stellar. Lure's couture creations infuse impeccable craftsmanship with worldly inspirations, and his Spring-Summer Collection 2018, The Regal Pilgrimage, is a fine showcase of the cultural colours he encountered in a trip to Bhutan, drawing from the beauty of the Himalayas and the Tibetan culture. Dr. Lure joins us this week to give us further insights into his Spring-Summer Collection 2018, the grander vision behind his F&B business, and the incorporation of artificial intelligence into future custom-made designs, and most fascinatingly, a permanent collection he created for none other than the late Princess Diana, lovingly called I Love You. Now, congratulations, Dato, you know, on the launch of your Spring-Summer 2018 collection, Regal Pilgrimage. Now, tell us, what's the reception like so far?
It was fantastic, actually, when we launched. Launching a new collection is always in something that you have to spark your mind, what you want to go up to, all this kind of inspiration, the design, the fashion, what you want to make the trend, you want to create something that's very, very nice, people really go into it, yeah. Why Regal Pilgrimage, you know? Because over the last 3 years, I actually went to Nepal, India, and even Bhutan, you know. I remember the Bhutan trip, especially the moment I landed Bhutan. I heard so much about Bhutan before that, but the moment I landed, somehow I have different kind of feel from all the traveling all over the world.
Was it a good feeling?
The good feeling really, really is really the good feeling. And so sensuous and so calm, and you feel you are actually in a different land. And I said, my God, no wonder. Why is it air? Is it the environment? Why the happiness index is in the so poor country? I mean, mm-hmm. In a small nation, you know, yeah. And a very not so rich in terms of the GDP, you know, mm-hmm. But they are so happy people, you know.
I see that, you know, there's quite a bit of bright and vibrant colours in the collection, the Regal Pilgrimage, you know. Tell us, in terms of the colours, what was the inspiration about the colours?
Like the sea sands of Himalayas, especially the architecture of the building. And, you know, they pray a lot. You know, they're uniform. Not so uniform, they actually, to me, it's just like uniform. Every Tibetans are dressed almost the same, you know. But the colours, I think they are really, really elaborate in terms of the details and the beads and the, you know, the hair, the outfit they wear.
Now, you have 15 new designs for the Regal Pilgrimage. Do you mind, you want to talk us through the designs that you have?
Our collection, every design is actually having a specific name of it, giving a name and how this derives from that. You know, example, Nanang, you know, that actually the sea sand, you know, that the color, very soothing colors that gives a bit of old pink, unlike the normal white sand and things. No, it's actually, of course, the particular design is I love the most. You know, it gives a lot of sexiness in terms of the elegance of the lady when they put it on. So I can imagine how beautiful she can. You know, she's very confident of herself, and naturally she feels so happy, you know, the moment she put on Luray bespoke, you know, the custom made shoe. So this is how we put that particular design, for example, into this collection, Spring 2018. Yeah.
So in terms of the color and the designs, do you want to walk us through more a little bit?
This particular color is very rich. So you can have a little bit of a stronger color, from red color to maroon to pink, to from hard color, stronger color, right, to the softer color, pink, to the new color. I personally like new color, and it's very spring. You're talking about spring, summer, 2018. We always wanted to have something really more serene, more cooler color, and at the same time, you know, feel spring at that moment when you put on Luray, you know.
Now, I'm going to go off track a little bit. Now, I want to know, you decided to go into equity crowdfunding last year and you managed to surpass the minimum target with about almost 1.2 million from 48 investors. Now, for a well-established brand like Luray, you know, why did you decide to go into equity crowdfunding?
Now, crowdfunding is something very new to me as well. We decided to go into crowdfunding recently because we're moving into F&B, very fashion F&B.
Yeah.
And also, we are in the retail for many years. So we are talking about getting more relationship between investor and consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So we are bringing consumer become investor, kind of two-way business flow. We build strong retail follow.
Mm-hmm.
The loyal customer base, and they don't mind to come in to investors at the same time and consume with our product and as well as F&B.
Now, back in 2015, you made a foray in the F&B, like you mentioned earlier, and opened up your first restaurant, Nixman by Luray, in the first one was Trek KL, and now a second one, which you opened last year at Starling Mall.
Exactly.
Now, what made you venture into the F&B industry, or has this always been in your plan?
Not really. This is something which never crossed my mind in the extension of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
But moving towards 20th anniversary this last year, 2017, and before that, we are talking about, since we have already built a brand over more than 18 years, we are, in a way, monetized our brand. We are talking about also other merchandise besides F&B, but F&B came first, crossed my mind.
What was the other merchandise you meant?
You know, we are talking about leather-related, for example, wallet, you know. And we did actually, we have actually the collection, but not really, really push out big in, you know, in a big way. And even the fashion apparel, for example, or even eyewear and, you know, and timewear, perhaps. This is something which we are going
into. In the pipeline.
Yeah, in the pipeline. But F&B came in first. I think it's a destiny, I think. So we test the first one. Reason being, a lot of people ask me, why you go into F&B? I said, this is not F&B to me. This is actually something, a very lifestyle, very fashion lifestyle, eatery, that the moment you come into Nixman by Luray, your eye has to enjoy, and your ear has to enjoy, and before your mouth enjoy and stomach enjoy. So this is something which is very unique. And so we provide a beautiful ambience, the look, the feeling, and also good music, live broadcast. So really about entertainment, you know, just not just food alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You spend, for example, especially in the dinner, you spend about 2 hours to up to 3 hours. And I think that 2-3 hours is so important to relax yourself after the day work, isn't it? So you have to have a good place.
Do you showcase your shoes there as well?
I have yet to. This is also in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
That we want to turn this to become a gallery of Luray.
Mm.
Not really retail, but you see some, especially the arts. So the whole reason Nixman is all about getting fashion people together, art people together, you know, celebrities, you know, getting, you know, you have a good location, good spot for eatery, at the same time enjoying music.
Now, so you have 2 outlets at the moment. Do you have any plans to expand more outlets in the future?
Certainly. The third one is coming very soon.
Oh, where would that be?
In Genting Highland.
Ah.
There were another beautiful area on top of Sky Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and the rooftop. And this time would be you have a Malaysia, but you have the feeling of in the West, in Paris, outdoor Paris, Italy, you know, the kind of feeling, and you enjoy the coolness of Genting of 18 to 20 degrees, I think.
Oh, that's so nice. Fun, isn't so it? When can we expect the opening?
Middle of 2018, it would be, we are targeting June.
I definitely look forward to it. Now, Dato, you've been in the shoe business for more than, about 34 years now. How do you think your designs, you know, have changed since you first started?
During my time in the 80s, that's so different. There's no internet, there's no even phone, mobile phone, to talk about smartphones. So the life is so different, I would say. The way you produce a shoe, your design, your shoe is all very, very manual. I remember I represent the country, you know, in Germany in 1991, I remember that. And I was so happy because you got to see a lot of things. You can feel it, you know. Unlike now, you can just go to Google and everything is Google online and you find a lot of information.
Just click one button and that's it.
And those were that you have to reach there. You really, really have to reach there to feel it and to see it yourself. The mm-hmm. information is so lacking, so so little at a time. And now, everywhere, you know, the information, you're just, like you say, pattern away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, the design and also the making of it, the technology advancement, right up to, you know, the data we have collected. And this is exactly that we are moving into the big data, AI kind of direction, online. Everything would be Internet of Things, you know, mm-hmm. IoT and AI. Mm-hmm. I think this is the thing that the country have to be, or especially the SME.
Are you planning to head into AI industry?
Yes. In fact, I have been toying this idea over the last 5-6 years already. I am putting into my efforts, making it something really, really, it will see very revolutionized and the way shoe is made, shoe is designed, shoe is worn, and much more. Just imagine, just like phone, for example. Those were the days you have a mobile phone, it's already fantastic. But
yeah.
That mobile phone is just by calling. But now it's a computer.
Yeah.
And next time you wear a pair of shoes, that's just like something like that. And you know how many hours you sit without moving, or you emotionally you get angry yourself uh-huh. for that half an hour, unstable. Even that can be read from the book. Of course, it will go through an mm-hmm. app, you know, it will go through the internet of things that you get all this kind of information.
Wow.
Your blood pressure.
I mean, will your shoes be something like Siri? You can talk to your shoes?
Exactly.
Wow.
More than that, actually.
So you mentioned that now that, you know, you're moving towards AI and we're so advanced right now, will the price be different? And would people in Malaysia actually invest in a pair of shoes that is so advanced?
This is always a challenge for balancing between price and also the affordability, besides scalability. So we are actually moving into this direction. Just in fact, a few days ago, I'm thinking how to make it very, very masses, you know, you can reach it. To the masses, everyone should have a pair of custom-made shoes.
I want to have a pair.
Isn't it? And so affordable that you just connect your apps, your mobile phone, and you get it. I think, we're working towards that direction. Of course, it's not too cheap, but it's affordable to the general public. Yeah, this is what we wanted to move into this direction, especially in the AI direction.
Now, my next question is, when can we expect this to happen?
Our timeline is between 24 to 36 months.
So has this been started?
Yes. In fact, the prototyping is already done and we are moving into next stage already. Yeah.
Also, now that we're super advanced right now, do you think that we have to keep the tradition of shoemaking back then? You know, now everything's machine, computerized. Do you think people have forgotten the real way of making shoes?
I think this is always what we have seen in a lot of industry, the lost art. You know, I think this is something which I would want to maintain, and the kind of craftsmanship. Mm. That's why we are talking about craftsmanship is very important besides just design. To strike the balance between the olden days, the crafts, the become a modernized, revolutionized, at the same time having the kind of crafts there.
Mm.
You know, this is something which not so much about AI, everything is robotic, you know, you still have human touch.
Now, aside from that, you know, I know you also launched a permanent classic line named I Love You to honour the anniversary of the passing of the beautiful late Princess Diana. Now, how did this idea come about?
20 years is really, really a fast-moving era. I remember when I launched Lou Ray in 1997, and that was the year Lady Diana passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all remember her. I always felt we lost somebody really, really iconic in the world, especially in the fashion world. So it's always in my mind that I want to have some tribute to her. So it came last year, 20th anniversary, I say I want to do something, telling the world that I'm sure a lot of people in the world will say, okay, 20 years has passed, we still remember you and we still love you.
Mm-hmm.
So I create a love, a heart collection, you know. That idea actually came from the last pair of shoes that she ordered from Jimmy Choo. So I transformed that idea into a love shape and using the same kind of design that she, her last pair of shoes, but it was really, really transformed beautifully in the heart shape, that a bit crystallized with a bit of embellishment there. At the same time, have the sweetness of the new color that she liked and the fashionable material. And this will be our classic collection, an all-year-round collection. From time to time, different kind of season, the color could change, the material could change, the construction could change, but the love is always there. So this week, we call I Love You collection.
So over 5 years ago, you started a program to develop the technology that resulted in a special shoemaker machine. Now, I'm definitely intrigued. Tell us more about this.
This is what we talked about, working towards the AI direction. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, these methods of production will revolutionize what we are doing now, because custom-made shoe is very difficult because between the left and right are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to rely a lot of time your supplier to give you to produce the shoe last for you. And this technology will be able to go print your shoe last according to your left and right. Not the same left and right, but mm-hmm. I'm able to do it through the simplified productions facilities.
And that was renowned designer and fashion entrepreneur Dato' Lou Ray Liu. Stay tuned, because of this, Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, will guide you through how to pick the right floral prints to fit in your everyday ensemble. But before that, here's Stay by Madonna, played at Phillip Lane's Fall 2018 in New York. This is Stylefall, and I'm Adeline Jung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Jung on Stylefall. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, walks us through how to pull off the vacation look in tropical prints without actually going on a vacation. Now, as we all know, tropical prints are the new florals for spring 2018. So what do you think about tropical prints?
You know, tropical prints, like you mentioned, they're the new florals.
Yeah.
So, the, you know, like look towards hibiscus flowers, fruits, palm leaf prints, and even, you know, sunset prints. They're huge on collections spanning from Stella McCartney to Michael Kors to Gucci. They're on everything from, you know, feminine blouses to flirty dresses, edgy pumps. Mm-hmm. And they're not just relegated to, you know, the typical boxy short sleeve button down shirts that your dad would wear to play golf on holiday. You know, that type of floral, a tropical print. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with those kind of shirts, because they're pretty
semicolon, you know, in an ironic kind of way.
Well, I mean, tropical prunes have been around throughout the several seasons, yes. And it's back for this spring, summer this year.
Yep.
Now, people usually wear tropical prunes when they go to the beach.
Yes.
So how do you wear tropical prunes in the city?
In the city. So, I mean, you don't have to go for the loud, splashy prints. Tropical prints, they even come in, you know, in like less fussy prints, you know, in a neutral base color like khaki, browns, navy blue or grey, you know, so you can wear that to work. I mean, they're easy to match with your usual work pieces in similar shades. Or, you know, you can even go for those in a sophisticated monotone palette of black and white. Save the bold prints for the weekend. I mean, you don't have to be on holiday to look like you're on one.
Now, in New York, you know, designers are incorporating hibiscus flowers and palm leaves, you know, as motifs into their garments.
Yes.
I mean, I think in Malaysia, maybe local designers could actually use hibiscus as one of the prints, right?
Yeah.
And did you see any in stores lately?
I've not seen any specific Malaysian designers, but I've definitely seen some, you know, scarves, like hijab scarves featuring, you know, tropical motifs. So, I mean, it's such a fresh way to wear the trend for those of you who are wearing the hijab, because it's just like a pop of colour on your, you know, your hair. It's like, it brightens up your face immediately.
Now, tropical prints are more to day wear. What about night?
Surprisingly, tropical prints are also being done on, you know, evening dresses or even like two-piece suits, pantsuits. So like I mentioned, they don't usually have to come in the bold kind of, you know, splashy colours. They can even be, you know, a palm leaf print, you know, on a brown kind of like suede kind of, you know, material, or, you know, on a silk print, but in more subdued tones,
How would you wear it? How would you pair it?
If you're wearing a busier all-out print, the best way to make it look balanced, you know, is to pick out a single colour within the print.
Right.
And then you add an additional item, like, you know, be it a trousers, jacket, shoes, or, you know, something else. Or just go for accessories. They can be tropical prints, like, you know, earrings or necklaces or even a bag.
So for tropical prints, do you think it would fit most people?
I really think it depends on the prints. So when people think of tropical prints, they tend to think of like the really cheesy kind of like, you know,
Hawaiian
style. But not really. I mean, it's pretty much sophisticated these days. I mean, even just look at Michael Kors. They have like, you know, full print work outfits, you know, in tropical prints in like browns and neutrals, which look really nice, you know, for work.
So would you invest in tropical prints then?
I would, because I mean, I can't always take a tropical vacation, so why not look like I'm on one anyways?
And carry a beach bag all along, right?
Yeah.
And so that was Florence Song of Zalora with her trend updates on tropical prints. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Now, before I end the show, here's Fame by David Bowie, played at Tom Ford's Fall 2018 in New York. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.